What is good, family? First off, welcome to another episode of An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop Presents Solo Dolo with yours truly, D. Moraney, aka Hip Hop's Uncle Phil, aka Hip Hop Old Head. And as always, we get together about once a week, sit down, and we discuss what's going on in the world of hip hop from the previous week. So before I go into that, it's a very special day today. For those that don't know, it's my born day. It's my birthday. So I want to start off this episode like I do every episode with a first things first. And so first things first, shout out to my moms and my pops. Because about 43 years ago, they decided to have unprotected sex. And lo and behold, I was born. So big ups to them. I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. And appreciate everybody who was sending birthday shout outs and everything like that. So thank you. Big ups to my wife. Love you. And for everything that you do. And to my son, Deami Jr. Deuce, for inspiring me to be a better man. But yeah, that's that. Happy birthday to me. Big ups to the Digital Soapbox Network. Of course, you can find us on Audio Boom, as well as a lot of other places as well. But make sure you're subscribing to the Digital Soapbox Network on Audio Boom so you can go ahead and get all the updates from us, as well as the other great shows that they have on the network as well. So big shout outs to the Connected Experience. Big shout outs to the Plug Podcast, Mac and Nelly, big shout outs to them. The Dirty 30, big shout outs to them. And of course, the lead dog, no pun intended, Doggy Diamonds, big shout out to y'all. And everybody over at the network. Just good shows, good programs. I know I'm missing a few names. So remember, I'm a little old. Please don't take offense to that. But hey, let's get into it. A lot happened in this past week in hip hop. Let's start off with the return of the King of Intros, as you guys call him. Some are already saying Album of the Year. It's been out like 5 days. But Meek Mill. Meek Mills is back with the Championships. And kind of went Golden State Warriors on this one. He assembled a stacked deck. Really no way to fail on this album with this type of delivery of the names that he's has features on this new album. And they're all relevant to today. Some of the biggest stars in the game when it comes to commercial hip-hop. We have Drake, we have Cardi B, Fabulous is on this joint, Rick Ross, Kodak Black, Jay-Z, L.A. Ma, Future. I know I'm missing some people, but there's a lot of folks on this album. I wasn't able to lab it, so old heads like myself, and shout out to my boy Mr. Bootlegs and B-Sides himself, who was always labbing records, still does to this day, Big Pooh. But I wasn't able to sit back and just kind of listen in its entirety from front to back as of yet. But there were some songs I was feeling right off the bat. The Trauma joint I was feeling right off the bat. I thought that was definitely a dope record. A lot of nostalgia on this record. And when I mean that, I mean kind of throwback sounds, you know, some clearly lifted and reflip samples. And I know that's what everybody's doing nowadays. I myself not a big fan of it, but you know, that he took the Getaway track from Mobb Deep. He also flipped the Phil Collins Field in the Air. Shout out to Beanie was the first one that I remember flipping that. And the one that I guess garnered the most attention right off the bat, and one of the tracks I was feeling, so I kind of slowed up when I said what I was feeling, was What's Free. So those of you that are familiar with Biggie's What's Beef, they basically took What's Free, Meek flipped the chorus, or whoever wrote the chorus, flipped the chorus, and that one features Rick and Jay. Now, I like the song. I like the passion. you know, the anger and things of that nature you can hear in the chorus and also in Meek's verse. You know, he's speaking in regards to what he just went through. So whenever someone is speaking from a point of authenticity, you can definitely hear that in the music. And for me, that's always going to draw me in, and I'm always going to listen to that. And with Meek, I'll be 100% honest, I was not a big Meek Mill fan. Too much screaming on the track. Some, in my opinion, some of his delivery of his punchlines and things like that early on were not clear because of the way he delivered them in his cadence and things of that nature. But on Championships, for the songs that I've heard, he definitely sounds like he's been working on his craft, and he's a lot more in control, a lot more smoother, in my opinion. And he shows this on What's Free. Ross, who a lot of people gave me some shit for, and they give me shit for this, and I'll keep it 100. I still do not believe that Ross writes all of his rhymes. And I know that's standard in today's day and age, but I feel he's come a long way from, you know, white on white. What was it? White on white. It's fucking Ross or something like that. I think it was Everyday I'm Hustling. When I first heard Ross's music, before any of the shit came out about him being 5-0 or whatnot, I wasn't fucking with it because, you know, he was very rough when it came to his rapping ability. It was subpar. So I would get bits and pieces of whatever the masses or the mainstream was pushing, and I would hear it. And it wasn't up till maybe a couple years ago. I think it was a joint with him and Neo. And I heard him on a Wale joint. They were R&B joints, meaning that they had like Wale on the hook, or they had Neo on the hook or something to that effect. And Ross has always had, well, let me take that back. When Ross hooked up with the Justice League, I was feeling the production that he was picking at that time. Ross has a pretty good ear, and has had a good ear as of late, in my opinion. Again, I'm not the expert authority on Rick Ross, so I don't want you to guys think I'm just trashing him completely. These are my feelings, but Ross has come a long way. And, you know, is Ross a student of hip hop? Maybe. I haven't seen enough interviews of him, or when he has interviewed, I've never heard him speak in depthly on his love for hip hop. But, you know, again, you can't control what question is being asked in an interview, but he just doesn't come off as someone who is very committed to the art of emceeing. So it's a little weird for me for him to be where he's at, because this verse he spit on What's Free was a solid, very dope verse, even though he took shots at, you know, 6ix9ine at the end of the verse, which to me is, with Ross's past, I feel that Ross should, you know, stay away from that. Plus, you're an elder statesman in hip hop, and you know, you're at a boss level where this kid 6ix9ine is still really trying to figure this out, and probably won't get the chance to figure it out, but we'll get into that later. So I was a little disappointed with Ross there, taking a shot at, you know, the kid that's locked up, even though what he was saying was 100% true. But you know, that's my two cents on that. But to get back to Meek, so again, I will start checking for Meek Mill records now. Championship, in my opinion, is solid. I do need to go give it another listen, but I wouldn't put it past Nipsey. I wouldn't put it past Royce's record. I'm just off the top of my head trying to think of some dope records that came out this year, because there were a lot. But those two right now, definitely. I'm not putting it above KOD. So album of the year, definitely comeback of the year. This is impressive for him to get out and to be put in this position, and he's speaking against prison reform and things of that nature. You know, he did the op-ed for New York Times. Yeah, I think he was on CNN, if I'm not mistaken. I saw bits and pieces of that interview, so good for him. Now, the follow-up is, A, are you going to continue to make good music? And two, what are you going to continue to do now that you are woke Meek? And I hate to use that, because I'm not saying that Meek is woke. I was clowning online earlier when I said, hey, I like woke Meek. But we'll see if you continue to make music that has a message true to what you're going through and the people that you can help are going through. So the elephant in the room when it comes to this championship song is what a lot of people are calling verse of the year. And I'll take J. Cole's verse on what's it called, Taxes? It was on KOD, but Brackets. I'll take Cole's second verse on Brackets is my verse of the year. But a lot of people are saying Jay just dropped verse of the year on this championships, and this was definitely a throwback verse. And what I mean by that is I haven't heard Jay spit like this since maybe, in my opinion, man, public service announcement. Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Hov. That is, I got those feelings when I heard this. And I ran the verse many times. It's definitely Jay doing Jay. And no matter how you feel about Jay, you know, there's a lot of, before he ascended to, you know, billionaire mogul status, Jay, there was a lot of dirt that was around his name. A lot of people will disagree with that, but there are a large part of hip hop community that will co-sign that phrase. So it's good to hear Jay get back to pre Beyonce Jay, in my opinion, and really give us some heat. Not saying that Jay's coming with whack verses. 444 was definitely a dope record, but it was good to hear this kind of hostility from Jay. Barked at Trump a little bit and barked at Kanye. Now, a lot of people are going to disagree with that because Jay did put out something saying, no, this was not aimed at Kanye West. But once you read between the lines, this definitely was, you know, not maybe a scathing diss to Kanye, but definitely a reality check to Kanye. And maybe just your big brother taking you in the backyard and hitting you two times in your chest real quick just to bring you back to reality. So we'll see. Is this going to inspire Jay to come back and give us maybe what we wanted on, or what a lot of us wanted on 444? You know, we appreciate the introspective record, but let's talk about what Jay can do, and someone of Jay's stature, hip-hop wise, position in the game hip-hop wise, can do for these youngsters if he actually drops some music that was aimed at motivating them. So, you know, will we see that from Jay? You know, who knows? Who knows? It'll be very interesting to see what he does going forward. You know, can we expect another album? Again, it's Jay. I wouldn't doubt getting another album at some point, even though I'm on record to saying I don't want to hear any more albums from Jay-Z unless they are records where he's really given us the keys on how he's maneuvered and been able to get where he's at. Or him speaking from, again, that power position to the folks that look up to him, the folks that follow him, the folks that still make him relevant, and inspiring them with, you know, again, the keys to how he ever did it. Or do we get a conscious Jay record? You know, those are all things that 2019 or beyond would, you know, definitely be welcomed by myself. But as someone once said in one of these hip-hop Facebook groups, who cares? You're just a random dude in hip-hop. And that is the truth. So speaking of a random dude in hip-hop right now, and maybe he's not so random, maybe he's one of the biggest names in hip-hop right now for all the wrong reasons, is Mr. Daniel Hernandez. And so we'll talk about this week's Law & Order hip-hop and what's going on with him, because this does feel, like I said a couple podcasts ago, as this story continues to develop, it just sounds like, again, this is something that 50 wrote and developed for Stars, and they chose not to use. And I feel at some point, again, he's going to jump onto the camera during one of these, you know, reports or one of these videos that are being made and say, hi, I got everybody. This is my new reality series, and this is my, you know, reality star here. Tekashi 6ix9ine, and we created, what was it, the Truman Show with Jim Carrey? That's what this shit feels like, but hip-hop and the streets. But on some real shit, this is definitely tied into some street shit that's going on, that was going on, that really had nothing to do with the kid that decided to get himself, but we don't know if he decided yet, but fell into what appears to be like some real life street shit. So some things that just stand out. I'm not going to get into all everything because there's a lot to really unpack and discuss. But first of all, so Mr. Hernandez has a new lawyer. He has two people who are representing him. Her name is Don. One of them is Don Florio. And if I'm mispronouncing that, my bad. But what stuck out to me was in 2005, she was arraigned and charged with smuggling contraband in for one of her clients. And so this included a whole bunch of pills, a turkey sandwich, just wild shit. Which leads me to ask, who was in control of who's representing this kid? Now, I understand the FBI froze his bank accounts, his mama bank accounts, but is there someone at the label who believes in this kid and is backing him? Because having someone represent you that just no less than 13 years ago was arrested and charged with bringing contraband into the prison. Now, again, these charges, she was let go and charges were dropped, but that's still a pretty peculiar thing to have associated with your name. And if I was someone who was fighting for my life, I don't know if that would be something that someone that I would want to associate myself with. You know, I would try to get the best folks out there. You know, I would want the folks that these corporate dudes, you know, or these blue collar dudes, or these dudes who are not affiliated with the streets, are using when, you know, they find themselves in this exact same predicament. Where did people that defended John Gotti at? How many RICO cases did he beat? You know, isn't that who you go get? I mean, even if it costs you, you know, melting down a few of your gold chains or trading in one of your pink Ferraris, you know, would you not do that? If I was in that situation, I'd do that myself. So he is going to file not guilty, or he's going to plead not guilty. So which means that he's going to take it to what they call the box. That means he is going to get his trial date, which will not happen. They've announced until September. A lot of people said, damn, that's a long time, September. Well, the investigation is still ongoing. That's all I'll say. So what that means is that they are still collecting evidence. So that brings me to the internet screaming that academics is a snitch. Now, I'm no fan of academics, but I'm no hater either. And when you label someone a snitch, that's a big indictment, whether you're a street dude or not. There's people who take issue every day with me posting things about the case, or, you know, things that I'm hearing, and or bringing certain things to light. When we talked about the Toronto Sun connecting Drake with some bodies out there in Toronto, people took issue to that and reached out and said, hey, that's some police shit, which I feel it's not. You're just you're reporting the news. But with academics, the issue I have is this is supposedly your friend, your homie. And so for those that listen to the show, you know that King OG, San Capone, and Pooh, Mr. Bootlegs and B-Sides, we've known each other since we were teenagers. I'm 42 years old. I'm talking about maybe 20 some odd years over that, 26, 27, something ridiculous like that. And see, these are my brothers. These are my friends as well. But even before they were my brothers, in the process of becoming of friendship, turning into something else, I would have never posted anything, shared anything that would have, and this is before social media, so I'd have never told anyone or implicated any of them in something that could have got them in trouble. And that's what academics does. Every time he takes one of these videos of his boy doing whatever with his antics, threatening people, doing whatever he did, and posting that on his social media. So, now this is what's going to end up happening. Academics at some point, because the videos he's posting to his social media account, is going to have to testify. Now he can sit up there and he can go ahead and take the fifth on everything that they ask him, but it's still a bad look. You're still going to have to testify. You still have implicated your friend. And that evidence they got from your social media accounts. So someone that you considered a friend is now probably going to do the rest or lose the majority of his life going to prison because you wanted to boost your credibility. You wanted to use that to enhance your career. And that's crazy to me. Because you could have chose not to post any of that. And let's be fair to academics, and let's say he's not a mind reader. There's no way he was going to be able to know that these things were going to happen. I'm taking the stance that he had no previous knowledge of any investigations or anything to that effect. But he still has accountability because he's a grown man, and he should have been aware that he was being part of the problem, not really helping. And I know he said, hey, I told him to tone it down. I told him to do A, B, C, and D. But what you should have done is when given those videos or access to those videos, or maybe you recorded them. I don't know how you got the videos. But you shouldn't have posted them. Don't put them up. Don't support that type of bullshit. And when your boy asks why, there's that teachable moment, hopefully. Hey, man, this ain't you. You shouldn't be doing this. Thought we talked about this. Thought we talked about you stepping away from this life and just focusing on music. That's just my opinion. My two cents on that. But this is going to be a very interesting case. Because again, it's an ongoing investigation. And we'll see where this leads to. But it is, again, for you young folks out there. And even some of us older folks out there that are using social media. It is a reminder of how careful we should be with what we make public to the rest of the world. So marinate on that next time you about to post something that could impact your life. So we talked about Daniel Hernandez, who is the prince of the trolls, but the king of the hip hop trolls is our good friend Mr. Curtis Jackson, aka 50 Cent. And we all know that 50 loves the kids, right? So this past week, 5th took to, I think it was Instagram or something to that, and basically wished harm on not only his son, but the son of Supreme. And for those of you who are familiar with Supreme and 50 Cent, you know the backstory, so I don't need to go into that. If you don't, just Google it. Watch watch Get Rich or Die Trying. That was allegedly the depiction of 50's life, so that'll get you up to speed. But yeah, so 50 wished harm on his son and another man's son. Now a lot of folks were outraged, how could 50 do this? But let's not forget, 50 allegedly sent some of his boys to put hands on Jimmy Henchman's son, which led to a whole bunch of other shit that, again, you can Google and get put on game about that. So this is par for the course on 50. This is what 50 does. 50, throughout his whole entire career, has pushed boundaries and there are no limitations. I think it was Papoose and Remy Ma just got married, if I'm not mistaken, and 50 put up some meme where Remy's saying something to the effect like, oh, I really wish you were 50, and then there's some graphic next to Papoose saying something to the effect like, yeah, I wish I was 52. So, you know, 50 is the king of the hip-hop trolls, and he was trolling before trolling was even something that people said. So nothing at all shocks me about anything that comes out the mouth of 50 Cent. It is sad that him and his son have the relationship that they do, and I can understand from a personal standpoint of having a strained relationship with your father. Now, my father and I's relationship has never got to the point that 50 and his sons have. Hopefully at some point that can be repaired, much like my father's and my relationship was repaired later in adulthood. So hopefully that's something that 50 and his older adult son can maybe sit down one day and just squash that, man. And you gotta be careful, man, when playing with people's kids and putting that energy out there. You know, you just you never know. You just never know. But yeah, 5th is definitely wild for that. So let's get into some Do Your Math real quick. Do Your Math is where I just basically very quickly run over some of the numbers that are out there. And so we talked about the boy, Daniel Hernandez, formerly known as Tekashi 6ix9ine, coming out with the number 2 album in the nation, according to Billboard. Travis Scott's Astroworld takes back the number 1 album spot. And that's the album overall. So Tekashi was 1, Travis Scott was 2. And for Astroworld, this is again the second time that he's had that spot. Shows some sustainability, shows that his fan base, or shows that new fans, are going to be attracted to the music. And it's disappointing, if we can go back and talk about Mr. Hernandez, that we're not going to get to see the album, this Dummy Boy. I'm not going to be able to see what happens organically in this climate of hip-hop to see if his album was going to be well-received. Will it be another flash-in-the-pan record? That was some of the things that I've called him out for on this podcast and on other programs before, is that his album doesn't seem, or his music doesn't seem to be sustainable. It's like we need new records pretty fairly constantly from him because they don't have too much replay value. So I was hoping that he would be a free man, so we'd be able to kind of see that, see how that played out, see if he was able to continuously have hit records, or records that did well coming off this project, like some of his other mainstream peers. I think Drake is back in the top 8 with that Scorpion album, which has already went diamond, which is crazy. It just tells you how big of a name Drake is and how big the machine is behind Drake. So salute to him. Jid, J-I-D, I think, the young brother from Atlanta that a lot are comparing to Kendrick and are calling the next big thing in hip-hop, dropped an album last week and it debuted 41 on the Billboard 100. So salute to him on that. But in the press run leading up to the album dropping, he was talking about Dreamville coming directly for TDE, which I want to ask. I want you guys to let me know, and I'll post this in the Honest Conversation About Hip Hop podcast page. Who has the better roster? Is it Dreamville, with acts like J. Cole, J.I.D., Earth Gang, who King OG, and King OG, I think, was actually the one that first put me on the Earth Gang. Ari Lennox, who's an R&B singer. I know I'm missing some other people like Boz and some other people from Dreamville. Or TDE, K-Dot, Schoolboy Q, SZA, J-Rock, Abstract, and Reason. I know there's other artists there, but those are the ones that I'm going to choose to shout out on the podcast right now. But what do you think? Do you think Jid is just running his jibs? Is J.I.D. just rubbing his jibs when he says Dreamville is coming for TDE? Now, obviously, there's a big drop-off as far as name recognition after you say J. Cole when it comes to Dreamville. That's not the same when it comes to, of course, TDE, but TDE has artists who are more established and have multiple mainstream albums they've already put out. So it'll be interesting. I think that Cole definitely has a team and they're cooking something up over there, and the music definitely is, the music is definitely good music, no pun intended. So it'll be interesting to see the growth of these cats and to see if Cole and really what is how involved is Jay going to get, being that Rock Nation is not the breeding ground for a lot of new artists who are really making it. Cole's kind of taking the ball from Roc Nation and ran and now doing his own thing. So it'll be interesting to see if he gets any help. What type of help is Jay and Roc Nation going to play in cultivating Dreamville? Because, you know, at this point, Dre should kind of be Cole's aftermath. Kind of like how TDE is TDE, but we all know who's at the top pulling the strings, making sure that that they're successful. And so it'll be interesting to see if Cole and the folks at Dreamville get that opportunity to go ahead and do so. But yeah, it'll be interesting. Definitely be interesting. So I'm going to post that up on this Conversation About Hip Hop podcast page on Facebook. And y'all let us know who you got, Dreamville or TDE. And right now, I'm saying I'm leading with TDD just because they have the more established acts. Dreamville definitely has some young and promising acts that will definitely, I think, continue to grow. And it'll be interesting, again, to see what type of support they get from the man himself, Jay-Z. So, folks, we're about at the 30-minute mark, and I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up this week. Again, just want to really thank everybody for supporting the podcast and tuning in. We do have a episode of An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop coming up. I know I've been telling you guys that for about a month now. So we've just had some other things come up, and we're waiting for we can get together and we can definitely bang out this No Skips episode of the show. So basically, again, we'll be talking about albums that we feel have no skips whatsoever on them. And we kind of did a test run, and it was heated. It was definitely heated. So I can't wait to see when we get together, the crew, we get together, what we're going to talk about in regards to the no skips there. Oh yeah, you know what? I do have I got two things. Let me do a quick get the fuck out of here. I usually end the show with that. I forgot. But get the fuck out of here to the Kardashians for trying to cover up Kim K's sex tape. It's crazy to me that you guys have ridden this sex tape wave for, what, I don't know, is it 10 years? Maybe more than that, I'm not sure. You know how she's been championed as the first person to put it out and become successful and things of that nature. But now, I guess as maybe they make that political move, or they try to clean up the Kardashian name a little bit, now they're trying to distance themselves from this tape by saying she was under the influence of drugs when she did it. She wasn't in her right mind, things of that nature. You know, which is fucked up, because that makes Ray J look real bad. Real bad. But it appears that there might be some information out there that contradicts what she is saying. So just big get the fuck out of here to them. Get, you guys are already paid. Every one of them is paid. You've ruined Kanye. Lamar was already fucked up, but you helped fuck up Lamar. And, you know, I'm pretty sure there's some other things that we don't know about. But man, can y'all just go away somewhere? Find your own lane and just leave us alone. Please. I know we can block you out on Twitter. I filtered so I don't have to see any Kardashian stuff on Twitter or whatever. Some other social media sites you can't do that on. But we're cool. We're done, I think. At least I am. I know there's a lot of others that feel that same way. But we're good. You got your paper, boo-boo. Peace. Please. Please. Oh, and also, Eminem. The 11-minute freestyle. I've heard bits and pieces of that. Be interested to see what comes out of that, because he said something about Jada Pinkett Smith. So we will step up and defend his woman, a la Jay-Z. We will step up. I would actually like to see a Will and M battle, because it would be totally two separate disciplines of hip-hop. M is definitely more technical. Will is more old school in delivery. and things of that nature. But Will can spit as well. So I would love to see that one day for the culture, like these young cats are doing. And you know, Raz, I know I'm about 2 weeks late on this, but Raz replied to Joyner Lucas. Didn't hear anything back from Joyner though. So maybe Joyner didn't really want that smoke, or maybe him and Tory Lanez are working on that collabo album together. So, but again, man, I'm out of here. It's my birthday, so I'm gonna go celebrate. Again, thanks for tuning in and listening to another episode of An Honest Conversation Presents Solo Dolo with yours truly, Hip Hop Old Head D. Moraney, aka Hip Hop's Uncle Phil. Big shout outs to Rocky on the track. That's who you're listening to beneath me right now, or behind me, however you musical motherfuckers put it. But that's who you're listening to right now. Production by Rocky on the track. You can check him out on Instagram, Rocky on the track. Go ahead and follow him. Again, big shout outs to the Digital Soapbox Network. Catch us on audioboom.com. audioboom.com, or the link in the bio of all of our social media stuff. You can follow us on Instagram, you can follow us on Facebook, and you can follow us on the Twitter box. So again, it's your boy D. Moraney. We out, or I'm out. I'll catch you again with another episode of Solo Bolo next week, or we just might drop that Honest Conversation About Hip Hop episode on y'all. We'll see. But I'm out.